and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast, sponsored by Carol Angley Florist, with myself, Steve Nussbaum. As always, I'm joined by my good friend, South Stand Chum, my bearded legend, the one and only, the daddy-o. It's Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode number 351. Wherever you are listening to us in the world, we are pleased to have you back with us. Last week's show was a bit of a mammoth one for us, a bit of a landmark one at 350. So thanks to everyone who tuned into that. And this week, we've got a couple of games to review, news over the last 7 days, and we've also got a special guest waiting to speak to us live from Portugal. We are absolutely thrilled to have this person joining us this week. But as always, we start our show with a word from our sponsor.
Yeah, so our sponsors are Carol Angley Florist. They're based in Chingford and have served the borough of Waltham Forest and the surrounding area for over the last 70 years. They've got a fantastic team of florists who are here for all of your needs. They specialise in anything from bespoke wedding events, family funeral tributes, birthdays, anniversaries, anything you need them for. They are here for you, and it gets better. They offer 15% off to all O's fans and staff, which could be a huge saving for you. So if you want to get in touch with John and his fantastic team, you can give them a call on 0208 529 4130. Or you can go to their website, www.carolangley.co.uk. Or you can find the team on social media. You can find them on Instagram at Carol Angley Florist. You can find them on Twitter at Carol Langley E4. Or you can find them on Facebook at Carol Langley Florist.
Indeed we can, absolutely. Thank you very much indeed. So first of all, joining us live from Portugal, probably secrets out due to our announcement earlier, Jordan Graham is joining us live from Portugal. Jordan, welcome, making your debut on the Orient Outlook podcast. Thank you so much for giving up some of your Sunday evening for us. We're delighted to have you on. And I guess first questions first, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's a good question because I can answer it in so many ways. So I am. First of all, thank you for having me, guys. It's a pleasure. I'm really good. I'm really good. So just over four and a bit months now into my rehab. When I initially did the injury, they told me it'd be around 10 to 12 months to return to play. So I was gutted to start because I kind of knew the severity of what had happened. But then I had my surgery. I spoke to my surgeon and he said, look, if you work as hard as you can and things go smoothly, then there's a chance you can be back before that. So I think I'm in a good place right now, yeah.
That's really good to hear, Jordan. I think there was a question we were going to ask later, but I think it fits in quite nicely now. When the incident happened at Burton, did you know instantly the severity of what had happened?
No, oh, it's a great question. It's a great. I was expecting this one. Yeah. So, it was difficult, mate, to be fair, because obviously I was doing quite well. I was playing quite well. I was finding my feet. My assists were good. I felt like I was getting into a rhythm. And then, so when it initially happened, I was like, I felt like an excruciating pain go through my knee. I think any of the Orient fans that were there, quite close to the stand actually where I did it. And I've not felt a pain like that really. I did my ACL when I was younger, when I was at Wolves, but this was kind of different. So this time, just to clarify, because I don't think it was put out there by the club, so I ruptured my patellar tendon, which is a real rare injury in football. So you can rupture your Achilles, but to rupture your patella is really uncommon. So I didn't know that at the time. When I did my knee and I got stretched off and I was in the physio room, the medical room, and all the staff came in, I think the natural assumption was to think that I'd re-ruptured my ACL. And that's what I thought I did. And then, so it was a traumatic afternoon, really difficult. They brought my mum and dad in because my mum and dad came to the game, came into the medical room. And I think my mum and dad's eyes, I could see it in their eyes, like they knew it wasn't good. And I said to them, look, I think I've redone my knee, like, which is the worst of the worst really right now, because I've just signed here, I've found form, I'm loving it. I really want to help the team. I think we can do big things this season. And it was like one planet in my leg and I kind of knew that was the end of it really. So it was a really difficult moment. I travelled back, I went for a scan the next day, and then the head of medical here, Keaton, called me and he was like, we've got your scan results back, you've ruptured your patellar tendon. But the good news is that from the scan, I say good news, the potential good news is that we can't really see on the scan if you've re-ruptured your ACL. So the surgeon won't know until he goes in and operates. So I was like, okay, so I know I've done something. I know that I'm out for the season really now because my patella tendon rupture is a crazy one, but I'm hoping that my ACL is all right. Anyway, woke up from the surgery on Wednesday, and the surgeon was like, yeah, your knee looks great. Like, I've reattached your patella. I've done the procedure. It was as smooth as possible. All of your ligaments are fine. The previous ones you've injured are fine. So now it's just a case of getting you back, really, from a straight patella tendon rupture, which can take 10 to 12 months. But some people get lucky, they work hard, their body heals, and they can return earlier than expected. So I think my expected date was like September, probably September next year. But I'm looking like, I think I'm pretty much on course for pre-season, potentially the playoff final, if they keep performing like
that. Yes, Jordan.
Love that. So just for those uninitiated, the patella tendon, that's the tendon behind the kneecap. The patella is actually the kneecap.
So it's actually at the front of the knee. So
okay.
It's what connects your quadricep basically to the lower half of your leg, your shin.
Yeah.
So the tendon that connects your shin to your quad. Yeah. So it's a nasty one.
Yeah.
It's a real nasty one. But like I kind of said, once it happened, it was like it is what it is really for me. I kind of had my night where I was in tears. I was so emotional because I knew how well I was doing and what I could do in the next 6 months. And to think that would all come shattering down from one cross shot. And then it starts replaying over in your head, like, should I have passed? Should I have not done that? But I had it with my ACL. It's not really the way to live. Like, you kind of have to accept. And I said to myself, whether I'm happy, sad, angry, moody, frustrated, positive, no matter what my emotions are, what's happened has happened. So it's, how quickly now can I move on from this and get back on the pitch? And that was my mindset instantly. So, yeah, it was all good.
So from a mental health perspective then, Jordan, mentally, you've had to be very strong through this, and it sounds like you have been.
Yeah, so I'm quite fortunate, I think, because mentally I'm very... I don't want to say unbreakable, but I think that I'm like... I've had a career that's... I believe in my ability, I could have done a lot more, and I still can do a lot more if I hadn't had those two injuries. And I think this season was probably a prime example because the Orient fans had taken to me like I was one of their own. And the support I got from them prior to the injury was like, oh my God, we've got a player that can do this and this and this. And like, he can carry us to the top if we keep going how we're going. And it was all like, the bundle of support that I got was almost my downfall because it was almost like I let everyone down. Even though I know that I didn't, it was like, oh my God, what I could have done this season to help the team. But when it happened, it happened. And it's kind of, for me, after I got my scan results back, the next day I was like, right, well, I mean, you can ask anyone at the club, the gaffer, the head of medical, the lads. I was just like, right, what do I need to do now day to day to make sure that I'm back on the pitch to help the team ASAP? And if there's a chance I could return early, I'll do everything I can for that. So...
But you mustn't rush yourself, and the frustrations that people have of not playing and wanting to play can rush yourself back, and you end up hurting yourself somewhere else because you're overcompensating somewhere else. So it's important that you take the time as well.
Take the time, yeah, which is kind of difficult because if we were like 15th now, 14th, and we were like, not going to go up, not going to go down, there'd be no... But now I'm seeing those people 5 points off playoffs, like, can I do... Like, I'm desperate to get back involved. But I am sensible at the end of the day. If it gets to the end of the season and I'm like, do you know what, I'm just not ready to, then I'll just wait because I'd rather have a wonderful season next season and not give myself any chance of this potentially re-happening. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that you signed for us at the beginning of August? Did you have a pre-season anywhere prior to coming to us?
No, so I left Birmingham, which was a bit of a weird one really because I was meant to re-sign. And then new owners took over, and it was a bit of a shambles, really, in terms of who was going to stay and who was going to go. Because we had quite a lot of players last season on contract. And quite a few of us were under the impression we were going to sign a new deal. And then the owners came in, and it was like, no, we're not staying. So I didn't know. So I was doing a lot of work on my own with some PTs, doing a lot of running, kind of waiting for the right opportunity, really. And my agent actually told me about Orient and said, look, Orient were really interested, and I was desperate not to drop down the league. I wanted to stay in the champ because I felt like my performances last year and the year before that warranted a move to the Championship. So I was kind of like, I don't really want to drop down to League One. So I kind of put it off for a little bit. And then in the end, my agent was like, I think you should go down and meet the staff and meet Richie and see what they're saying, because it kind of got to the point where I was like, you know what? My last year at Birmingham, I didn't necessarily enjoy it too much. I was not playing exactly where I wanted to play in the team in terms of formation. I came down and met Richie and met Matty and met PT, and I was like, and met Lingy, and I was like, yeah, this is just the whole environment itself, the club, the direction, the way they want to work. I just flew instantly. And after that meeting, I got in my car, called my agent, I said, listen, let's get this done, because I think this can be really beneficial for both of us. So
what is it then, Jordan, about Richie Wellens? Because from a fan's perspective, we love him. It seems like all the players love him. He's done such a great job in his 2 years here in uniting the fans, and he's rejuvenated the club. So I guess as a player, what is so special about Richie Wellens?
It's a good question. You'd have to ask the lads, because I imagine everyone's got a different take on it. But for me, like with me personally, he's amazing, because he loves the type of player that I am. He loves what I offer to the team. He loves what I can do. He likes working with talented individuals, and he'll give all the time in the world to making you better. And especially for me, the way that I play the team, like a lot of it is centered in getting the ball out wide to Jordan, leaving 1v1, and especially Theo. Especially when I was playing, it was me and Theo out wide. And the gaffer was just like, yeah, like let's get the ball out to Jordan and just leave him. Just let him be isolated 1v1 and just flood the box, because balls are coming in, we're going to score goals. And he was great with me, to be honest, in training, on match days. Like, I mean, he shouts a lot on match days, but I just ignore half the things he says.
So do most of them, apparently.
You're not wrong, yeah. But no, he's brilliant. His ideas, the way he wants to play. I think the club are really lucky to have him. He's a really, really, really good young manager that has a great philosophy on what he wants to do. And I think the club now, as long as they can keep Richie, he's in a really good place.
As you mentioned earlier, you were in really good form before you picked up your injury. And obviously, it's a bit of a setback, I guess. Moving forwards, there's a lot that you can still bring to the table. You've got a 2-year contract, you've got next year with us. I'm not going to ask if you're going to sign another contract, because I think that's probably a conversation that will happen this time next year. But I guess from that point of view, as part of your recovery, you're not kicking a ball yet, or you're doing a bit of running?
Not even really, no. I did like a slight little jog the other day just to see how it was, but I think my running will start hopefully mid to end of April, and then, to be honest, as long as my strength targets are hit in terms of my right and my left leg, so obviously I injured my left leg, so as long as my percentage, like my deficit in strength, is down to 10%, then, and I'm running and I feel pain free, then I shouldn't be too far away, really. So whether that comes at the end of the season or pre-season, it's not the be-all and end-all for me. Like, my goal is to be backfiring in pre-season and hit the ground running. But if I am ahead of schedule over the next 6 weeks and we do kick on and get fifth or sixth place in the league, then, and I feel good, I think the club have given me full authorisation to take part in the playoff schedule. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm watching every game. I'm cheering. I'm desperate for them to get into the playoffs, and I'm desperate that I can keep developing the way I am so that I can make it. But I just take it day by day and see what happens.
You mentioned earlier in an interview, Jordan, about kind of your form before you got injured. I mean, you were starting to really kind of gain momentum. I think you had only played 18 games, but in those 18 games, we as a fan base had seen enough to be really excited about you, and you were tearing the left-hand side of the defence as a new one down the right-hand side. How happy were you with the form you were starting to show?
I was pleased, but I was like, you guys don't know me yet. Like, it was crazy, because I was like getting crazy love, and I was like, yeah, I've not even got into third or fourth gear. I mean, I didn't have a pre-season. My pre-season was basically the games that I started playing. So it's kind of funny, I'll tell you a crazy story. So I think my first start was Plymouth away in the cup, and I played on the right-hand side, and I was next to the gaffer. And he was shouting at me, press, 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 da, da, da. And I was like, I've not got it in me. Like, I'm trying to press, but I've not had a pre-season, so I don't know what you want to do. And I remember him saying to me after the game, like, I think, in a more polite way, I think we might have made a mistake with signing. And then we got to the Cambridge game. I think it was the Cambridge game. And I played that game. Came into the dressing room and said, we definitely didn't make a mistake with signing. And I was like, I just needed a bit of time. So, yeah, the time helped me, really. My first 7-8 games really got me into the flow. And then I think by the maybe Peterborough game or the Exeter game, I was feeling good. I mean, I looked when I got injured, actually. I think I was second in the league for assists. And I thought, if I can be second in the league, I was behind Blackett Taylor at Charlton at the time, who's one of my good friends, Corey. And I thought, if I can be joint second in the league for assists with not really having a pre-season, then this can be a really good season for me. Yeah. But sometimes things aren't meant to be. And whatever that reason was, I'll make sure that next season I'm even better.
It's really important in pre-season, isn't it? I'm not saying that necessarily that contributed to your injury, because it sounds like it's more of a bit of a freak accident than something that you didn't prepare for because of of a pre-season. Does it surprise you, given the injuries that we're suffering this year? You know, Theo's out with an ACL, you're out with your knee, others have been in, like Dan Adjei has been in, hurt himself pre-season, came back, was doing well, on good form, got himself injured again, is out, unknown return date, hopefully in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, apparently. I mean, we've been unlucky this season. So does it surprise you that we're still in 10th with, like, 5 points to go to the playoffs? I mean, whether we get into that or not is a different story, but does that surprise you?
It actually doesn't, no. I mean, it does slightly, but it doesn't really, because I know the lads and I know the staff and I know what they demand.
Mm.
And I think the lads, obviously we've got quite a young group anyway, and I think the lads kind of looked at it like, right, there's no Jord, there's no Theo, there's no Dan Hap, and there's no Dan Adjei. So really, this is it. This is all we've got, and we've got to produce. And with the manager being the way he is and the staff being the way they are, I think the lads just felt like it's time for us to take ownership on ourselves, and we can't bring those players back. Those players are gone now, so it's a case of, like, let's go and finish the season as strongly as we can. And I think a lot of the time in football, when you've got quite a young squad, it can be detrimental to you because you lack experience. Whereas with our squad, it's almost, there's no fear, and that's the pro of having a young team. You have pros and cons, but the main pro is, like, they're just fearless. They'll go out in every game and just try and play. They'll play, they'll try to pass, they'll play the right way. And I mean, even yesterday, I know they didn't play the way that the gaffer wants them to play and the way we want to play, but going to Stevenage away and winning is a difficult, difficult thing to do in the league. Top teams struggle to do it. And we did it without our four or five, I would say, mainstay players. So it just goes to show the strength and depth from the younger boys and what we can do and how good we can be if we get everyone back together.
And who's stepping up? Ultimately, because they're a young squad, they don't know that yet. They've not necessarily experienced that in their career. So I think it's a huge credit.
I mean, a lot of them are probably stepping up to the plate now without even realising they're doing it. Mm. Because it's crazy, because it's like life. It's not just like football. It's like anything. Like when you have a choice, you can choose to step up or choose to not step up or choose to be better or not choose to. But when you don't really have a choice, it's like the lads now are like, well, we know this is it. This is what we've got now. So those boys are done. We've got to do what we can do. And the staff have been led because the staff really help them. The staff are brilliant with the younger boys. And they've just filled them with loads of confidence. And it's almost a case of like, right, lads, this is our group. This is what we've got to do. Let's just go out and do it and enjoy it and play with a smile on your face. And I think the lads have excelled, and it's been a joy for me. It's been a joy. It's been painful for me to watch from a distance, but it's been a joy to watch the lads that I know day to day really expressing themselves and doing really well.
You mentioned kind of watching the football. What kind of watcher are you? Are you like a nervous wreck when you're watching? Are you quite calm and collected when you're watching? What's your experience like of obviously watching your squad mates play football when obviously you can't be out there on the pitch?
No, I'm really calm. I'm calm because, like, to me, playoffs is almost like it wasn't really part of the plan in terms of we were in League Two last year, we got promoted. I think if we finish 13th or 14th or 15th this season with the squad that we've got, I think people would have been like, they've done really well. They came up from League Two, they've now stabilised themselves in League One, now can they kick on? I think playoff, to even be in contention, to be 5 points off playoffs with 15 games to go, how many? 10 games to go. It's like, I almost think we're massively overachieving, especially with the amount of players we've lost. But like I said, that goes back to what I said, it's a testament to the boys. The boys don't really care. The boys are just like, we're going to go out there and play every game the right way, the way we want to play. And wherever it takes us. It's just me that's sitting here with my fingers crossed saying, come on, guys. Like, I don't think there's a bigger Ori fan out there right now than me.
We'll quote you on that when we promote this. We had quite a few listener questions. One or two, I think you engage with. One of them, I know we've already answered it, but Neural 2 says, how have you mentally coped with the injury? And I know we've touched on that, but just as a further question off the back of that, what kind of coping mechanisms have you got? Because it is hard. We know it's hard. That we've spoken to players at Orient who have said, look, it's a lonely place to be when you're the only one in the gym, when they're out on the training field. You're the only one in the physio room when they're all out on the training field or on a rest day. So what coping mechanism? I don't want to get too deep. I'm not a psychologist or anything. But like in terms of coping mechanisms, you're in Portugal at the moment, so you're at a facility there. What sort of coping mechanisms do you have? What works for you?
Yeah, no, it's for me, it's just I just think I'm strong willed, like mentally. Like, I drive myself and I'm like, situations are what they are, like this, and you can't turn at the hands of time. If I could go back to the button game and pass on that counter attack, I would have, but I can't. I did what I did, and the outcome was the outcome. So, for me, it was a case of we can talk about coping mechanisms, but for me, it's more just like acceptance. Like, you've got to first accept what's happened, and that's the hardest part. When you can look at the man in the mirror and go, okay, we are where we are, there's nothing I can do about it. The only thing I can influence is how quickly and stronger I can return. And for me, that was it. So it was a case of, I was straight in the gym after my surgery as soon as I could be. I was working on my leg. I was going in every day trying to do my stuff that I could do in the early stages. I got my knee flexion back, so I got my knee bend back. As soon as I could get in the gym, I got in the gym. And then I said to my physio, I was like, look, when we get to the start of March, I said, I want to go to to Portugal. So there's a facility out here called The Campus, which is really nice. And it's got like everything you can want in a gym. It's got a pitch, it's got a pool, hydrotherapy. And I've got a place out here, actually. So I was like, look, after 4 months, I'm going to want to change the scenery. It's a long-term injury. So as long as I get my programme sent from you, I'll just follow my programme. But my head of medical and the gaffer is really good with me because they know that I work hard. Like, they see me day to day. Like, I graft until the cows come home. Like, for me, it's my life. I love football. I want to be back out there helping my team ASAP. So I'm not one of them guys who cuts corners and tries to skimp out and, you know, it will heal when it heals. For me, if I can make it heal 2 months early, I'm going to do that. So luckily for me, I've got the trust from the club. They've been really good, really, really good with me. So they've trusted me to come out here and I'm doing really well. My knee's really improving. I'm flying. I check in with the club, check in with Keaton every few days, really, and just see how I'm getting on and add new things to the programme. And then I'll be back at the start of April. And then it's just a case of really hitting the ground running. And hopefully, by the end of April, I'll be back outside in the pitch getting some jogging and some running there.
Sounds great. We've got a question from Jason Kilby, who says, with a fully fit squad, including yourself, for next season, how would the O squad compare with any championship squads that you've been in?
It's a really good question. I personally think if we could have a fully fit squad next season, I think we'd do all right in the championship. Forget League One, I think we've got a really good squad. We've got a really good staff. Like, all the staff are good. The support system that everyone has is brilliant. It's almost like a family, and that's crucial in football. So, if we were to keep everyone together, and I think next season, I think we would. I don't think we'd be in the bottom three from the championship. So for me, that's like next year. We've got to look at promotion. I'll see anything about it.
Wow, that's a bold statement there, Mr. Graham. In terms of the injury that you've picked up, you mentioned you've had a couple and you've come back from a bad one once. Another question was asked, how will your injury affect your confidence? Seeing as you're a winger, And will you need to change your style of play, or do you think you'll be able to come back as, and sort of be as good as you are? I know you've alluded to the effort that you're putting in. Do you think, though, that... Look, you did what you did and it happened how it happened and there's no change. That is a bit of a freak situation. But do you think subconsciously at all that, can't do that move, or I can't do that as well as I did because of that, and therefore I can't play that? Do you second doubt yourself about any sort of potential, I can't cross it like that just in case, or...
No, it's a great question, because obviously I did my knee by planting my left leg and trying to shoot cross, which for me is like, normally when I play out wide, I want to get the ball 1v1, take a fullback on and deliver the ball into the box. And that obviously is with my right foot. So my left leg is planted. So I think for me, a big part of getting my confidence back will be towards the end stage of my rehab, where I'm doing lots of like single leg work, where I'm planting my left leg, jumping off a box, landing. Once I feel like I've got that full stability in my left leg, and then we'll go in, and then we're going to, the rehab will then advance into going outside on the pitch and crossing the ball, day in, day out, crossing the ball, getting into, like, I'll put mannequins out, I'll get into different situations, I'll do a step over and I'll plant my leg and I feel comfortable. When I'm like, yeah, I've got my confidence back, then I don't think there's anything that's going to hold me back, really, no.
I think we've mentioned kind of like the squad morale has been mentioned quite a lot. How, as I guess when you're in a different country and the season's still going on, how do you keep active within the squad? So obviously the squad is still playing together. You're not as in the squad as much as you'd like to be, obviously, because you're not fit. But how do you maintain kind of your involvement in the squad and make sure, hello, I'm still here, guys. I'm very much part of this squad, even though I'm not actually on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, no, they're great, they're great. They, a lot of the boys message me, like, hurry up, back, we need you ASAP, like, all the time. they say to me, we're doing really well, but we need you. So I messaged, actually, Max yesterday when he scored, and I said, listen, Ram, so Max actually lives below me, where I live, so I'm really quite close to Max. And he had a bit of a tough time the first half of the season with injuries and not playing. So I messaged him yesterday when he scored after the game, and I was like, oh, I'm delighted, mate. I said, listen, keep going now. It's time to kick on. Mate, delighted. Thank you so much for your message. Like, we need you back. And that's what the lads are like. I think they appreciate it. They saw me for the 3 months. They saw me and they were like, we'd love to have you in our team because he can really help us. So the lads have been great with me. We've got a players chat, which is just for the players. And I mean, I put messages in there every day every morning before games. And I think the lads that are injured do, and we'll just say, like, all the best boys. Da, da, da. So I keep a real close eye and watch as many games as I can. So, yeah, like, I feel like it's good because we're still kind of really involved, even though we're not. And the next step is just being involved, and that's what I can't wait for.
We touched on it earlier. We've clearly taken to Richie and his passionate approach. There's a real feeling that we're all in this together. Someone who sits by us has asked, how does Rich's style compare to other managers you've worked under, and where do you see his real strengths? I know we touched on that earlier, but how does his style compare to some of the other managers you've played under? Because everyone's different.
I think he's top. I think he's got a great idea. He's got a great philosophy of how he wants to play. And I think, I don't know if you guys listened to his interview after the Stevenage game, but that kind of sums it up, because we won, but instantly he was like, it's not really how I want to play. Like, I don't really want to do this. So I think that tells you everything. Like, we've gone to one of the hardest places in the league to win. We've won. And his first thing that he comes out with is, well, yeah, it was a good win, but I don't really want to play like that. Mm. Because he has a clear plan of what he wants to do. And he's a really, really good coach. He gets his messages across in training really well. I feel like the lads are always prepared for games. So, yeah, I would rank him very highly in terms of a technical coach. I don't think you mind me saying, I think his man management sometimes when he shouts and gets onto people can be a little bit too much. But for me, I don't mind it personally. So I think he knows that. But, I mean, I love him to bits as a person and as a manager. And he gets the best out of me. And I can't wait really to work with him again.
We've been lucky to sit in the gallery a few times, and I can't remember what match it was. I think it was Shrewsbury at home, where he literally must have shouted at Idris El Mazouni about 200 times in the first half.
At least.
Like, all he was shouting is,
yeah, Eddie. You missed the 10 games that I played, where I think he shouted me 600 times. But it's all right, though. We're still friends. We're still good friends.
So I guess in terms of the recovery then, Jordan, you said you're in a Portugal inn until April, and then you get back and it's still the rehab zone with the aim of getting then through to a start of pre-season where hopefully you're ready to go and join the squad and get a full pre-season. So I guess that's the long-term plan for the next couple of months then.
That's the long-term plan, yeah. I think if the impossible happens, the nearly impossible happens, which is we get in the playoffs, and that makes it a little bit more trickier, because I think then I'll, depending on where I am, I'll kind of want to rush it. And I think it's worth rushing for, to be fair. But at the same time, for me, it's like, it is what it is. If we get in the playoffs, I'll be delighted for the club. I'll be buzzing for the lads. I'll try my hardest to get back and play. If not, and I can't make it, then it is what it is. I'll be in the stands, being the number one fan, cheering and hoping that the best outcome happens. But for me, as I sit here now, as long as I'm back for pre-season, then I'll be content.
Love that.
And I guess for you, it's going to be, feel like almost a few new signings have joined, but they haven't. So you've never actually played with like Dan Adjei, because he was injured early, and then you were injured after him. And obviously, Ollie O'Neill was coming in January. So it's almost like there's a new bunch of lads, almost like you're like a new signing again, almost, or you're playing with new signings who aren't new signings.
Literally, yeah. I mean, so obviously I played a bit with Shaq. I think Shaq's on loan, actually. Played quite a few games. I'm not sure if Shaq will come back. Hopefully he does, because he's a hell of a player. Ollie, yeah, I did play with Ollie, but Ollie's done really well. Obviously, I played every game with Theo, but now Theo's going to be out till maybe September, October time. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it might feel like a new, I don't know, let's say the new front three is a new striker that we signed this summer, Ollie on the left and me on the right. I mean, I've not played with any of them. So it kind of is going to feel like a new signing. But we've got a really good group in terms of gelling. So like we can train a few times, start to understand what people want to do. And we're really good at that. It's a big pro of this team. We understand the dynamic and we understand the way we want to play really quickly. And hopefully, yeah, we can gel really quick next season and kick on, because I think there's a real chance for us.
Those were pretty much all the questions that we had. We have a couple of quick fire question that came up actually asked by a young listener of Richie Wellens, and it's become a bit of a staple that when we have club guests on, particularly those that haven't been on before, and we ask them what their dream menu is. So a starter, a main course, and a dessert. What would yours be?
Oh God, what a question.
Probably the hardest question that we're asking you, to be fair.
It really is, yeah.
Honestly, you have all to think about it. It doesn't have to involve steak and cheesecake either.
True. Oh, I don't mind either. But I would probably say my dream starter would be a mix between either truffle arancini balls or truffle asparagus. As you can tell, I'm a truffle fan.
Yeah.
My main would probably be fillet, medium rare, with a side of cream spinach, sauce béarnaise, and dessert, I'd probably say a beautifully prepared creme brulee, and that'd be me.
Oh,
nice work, Mr. Gray.
And maybe a few glasses of wine along the way throughout the courses, but you can edit that bit out.
A pairing, you mean?
So, Jordan, final question from us. This isn't really a question. This is just a final statement. What's your message to the Orient fans listening tonight? Obviously, everyone's really excited about the season. Everyone was so excited to see you early on in the season and devastated by your injury. So what's your message to the Orient fans listening?
It's just, I want them to know that I'm doing my best. I'm really grateful for the support they've shown me in the games that I played. I know at the start I was a bit rusty, but then I found my feet and they took to me like it was amazing, the support they showed me. I knew they loved watching me play. So, and I was as gutted as them when what happened. So for me, it's just a case of wanting to know I'm working my absolute socks off to try and be back as quick as possible, but when it's as safe as possible, so that they can see, you know, the Jordan version 2.0 next season.
So that was Jordan Graham, who's currently recuperating in Portugal. Jordan, thanks again, mate. We really appreciate that. And it's part of your Sunday evening. And we're really grateful. So thanks to everyone who sent their questions in. We hope we got the answers that you were looking for. And I think from my point of view, you can hear how passionate he is and how determined he is. And just chatting to him then about how much willpower he's got to want to help the club to do well. And you don't really get that very often from many players, because a lot of them just see it as that's their next kind of stop in their career. But you can see he actually cares and gives a damn and wants to do well and wants to help the club. And for me, you'll always get love from fans if they can see you when you're wearing the shirt, representing the club, doing the best that you can do and trying hard and fighting for that shirt.
I can't wait to see Jordan Graham 2.0.
I can't wait for that either. Absolutely can't wait. But I hope, and as I said there, don't rush back. I'd rather he miss the playoffs and whatever happens in the playoffs happens, and then we get Jordan 2.0 fully fit, raring for the next season, because you can put yourself out for another year.
Well, it's like he said, he was second in the assist table without a pre-season, missing the first kind of 7 or 8 games anyway this season. And by the time he got his injury, like 18 games in, he was second in the assist. So the quality's there.
Yeah.
Long may his rehabilitation continue. And once again, thanks to Jordan for joining us from Portugal, where it's actually 20 past 10, an hour ahead. And obviously, thank you to the club for sorting out that interview. So without further ado, it's time to get on with the Sports Club updates.
Indeed we do. Friday the 29th of March as we sit here now. Good Friday, that is, to everyone. We travel up to Lincoln for a 3 o'clock kickoff. Coaches are leaving the Supporters Club at 9 o'clock. That's a £33 cost for adults, £30 for concessions, and children will travel for £17. There is a £3 surcharge if you're not a member. And obviously the trains are real dodgy at the moment, so this is a real safe bet to get you there and back. All children must travel with an adult, and obviously those prices don't include your match day ticket. You're going to need to call the travel line for this one now, because there's no games for you to go in to book on. So it's 07507 539 579. Save that in your phone book.
As well as Sunday, the 28th of April, the Starman Awards. Still a few tickets left. The players will be there, the staff will be there. More importantly, one of your South Stand chums is going to be there. So come and say hello if you're there. Always a great evening. Lovely meal. And hopefully, the season won't be over when we're at Starman. We'll be all taking it fairly easy with the looking ahead of the playoffs. But let's not talk about that until we get there. All right, AOB, two pieces for you this week. First up, we were very saddened to hear of the passing of former O's player Malcolm Lucas, who passed away aged 85 this week. He was a steward of the great early 60s Orient side. I imagine Nigel Travis might have caught him playing a few times. He played 157 times for the O's between 1958 and 1965. So I'd just like to take this opportunity to say rest in peace to Malcolm, and our commiserations go out to his family and friends.
Indeed. Also, just want to say a big, huge thank you to LOFC Teresa, who came up to us on Tuesday evening at Port Vale with a little present, a little gift of chocolate as a thanks for doing this. We're really touched by that, really grateful. Thank you very much indeed, Teresa. Really appreciate that.
Lovely chocolates as well. Very lovely gift, Teresa. Didn't last very long once they were open. So, massive thank you for that. You made us feel very nice there. All right, week that was.
One more thing, just a very happy birthday to our mate Chris, whose birthday it was yesterday. So let's move on to the week that was.
Happy birthday, Chris, who didn't want to go to Stevenage and ruin his birthday. So never mind on that one, buddy. All right, the week that was, happy Monday, the 11th of March. Not much happened, but something that did happen is young O Zekabirio had made the Kenya under-20 provisional squad for their upcoming Four Nations tournament. So well done to young Zek.
Indeed, good to get that recognition. To Hue, Tuesday the 12th of March, the club confirmed that our League One home fixture against Exeter City has been rescheduled for Tuesday the 9th of April. So that is the Exeter City game that was meant to be played this coming Saturday, but due to international call-ups on both sides, that's now been rescheduled to Tuesday the 9th of April. That is a 7:45 kickoff.
Yes, don't rock up to Brisbane Road on Saturday because there's no game on. I'm sure one or two people will end up doing that just out of pure habit and then be like, what's happened?
Someone I know said that. When did that get moved? I didn't see that one. So you have been forewarned.
All right. Also on Tuesday, in a game that won't be remembered at all, we hosted Port Vale at home, I think it's fair to say. Team was announced at 6:45 with Bryn in goal, Hunt, Beckles, Cooper and Sweeney at the back with El Mazzuni and Brown in the centre of midfield. Ford, Sanders and O'Neill and Piggott making up the 11 with Howes, James, Prattley, Obiero Aduajay, Edwards and Sotiriou on the bench.
Indeed, that starting 11 saw four changes from the team that started the 1-0 loss at Wigan, with Rob Hunt coming in for the suspended Ethan Galbraith. Jaden Sweeney came in to replace Tom James, who dropped to the bench. Jordan Brown came back in for Darren Prattley. And Joe Piggott with a rare start in place of Ruel Sotiriou. Your thoughts on that?
I thought we might see a few changes in that one. Richie kind of alluded to a few little things in his pre-match interview on Monday. And I thought,
predicted that, didn't you?
Yeah. I got 10 out of 11 on Fan Hub. So I thought, he said, oh, Piggott's got a big nine games now. And I thought, you're going to start Piggott on Tuesday. Because obviously Sotiriou had played the last couple. And Piggott had been coming off the bench more. So I wasn't surprised to see Piggott start that one. And I also thought that Sanders might kind of retain his place. So yeah, no real surprises for me. But you look at that, big chances on that starting lineup, in particular for Sweeney, who's been in and out of the squad, not just in and out of the bench, in and out of the squad. Big chance for Sweeney to get his season back on track. Sanders, already mentioned Piggott. Good to see Obiero on the bench as well. We've mentioned last couple of weeks about giving other clubs' youngsters a chance to shine through. We've got someone who's just been called up for Kenya, under 20. All right, maybe not the most glamorous of nations in terms of international football, but an international youngster. Nonetheless, let's get him on the pitch to see what he can do. Yeah. Totally all for that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, I wasn't too downhearted by that. You?
Yeah, I mean, you can see Richie's giving opportunities to those who haven't had much game time and need to impress. Like you said, big games for Piggott, Hunt and Sweeney. And I think he's obviously looking at this as 23rd. 10th versus 23rd, and thinking actually this is probably the game to give people a chance. But you can't necessarily, as we've known, having spoken to players and gotten used to how things work, that someone's suddenly just going to parachute in and have the game of their life and give Richie that headache. That's what you want to happen. That's what they want to happen, but it doesn't work like that. Obviously Gavin Massey started for our opponents as well. Good to see him back. He's done well,
very well,
in his career, so good to see him back, although hope he doesn't have much of an impact.
Alright, we had a few tweets come in when that team was announced. Dave Brew 4797-6911 said, well, Richie did say Pigs has got work to do in his last nine games.
John P. Leach said, got a feeling Sweeney, Piggott and Hunt are all playing for their Orient careers tonight.
Hob Jim 7104 said, the squad looks thinner and thinner each time I see it.
Theo Archibaldin said, bench is looking skint as anything. Obiero being there doesn't give me confidence.
All right, so the match kicked off in a slightly warmer than expected E10 under the lights, but he was looking to get back to winning ways after two defeats against the Port Vale team, struggling in 23rd place in League One, also without a win in 2024. In the first 20 seconds, Deborah headed the ball back almost over his own keeper, Ripley. He was able to hold the ball. What a start that would have been. And then go after 15 seconds.
Imagine. Fast forward to the 10th minute now. Superb through ball found Rob Hunt, who lays the ball out wide to Shaq Ford. His cross eventually was held onto well by Ripley.
Yeah, in the 22nd minute, Jaden Sweeney done ever so well as he defended a cross which came in. He just beat Massey to the ball to flick it over Massey's head in the 22nd minute. Big, big touch there from Massey.
100%. 100%. And that was a tussle that was very interesting to watch, given that Sweeney, as we've just mentioned, hasn't played much. For him to come in and to be marking the very tricky and experienced Gavin Massey, that is a lot to ask of a young player who's saying, potentially, as John said, playing for his career, playing for his next contract. I think that was a big thing. And I thought he acquitted himself well. And that is one of them. And I thought leading up to that point, we weren't playing that well. Like, we're 10th. They can't find a win. They can barely find goals. We'd not worked their keeper. Like, we're in the half-hour mark now. We'd not worked their keeper. We'd not done really anything of note. Lots of back and sideways passing. Lots of safe passing, comfortable passing that's not going to be undone. And I think there was a few kind of real poor passes there as well. And I think Beckles, for me, I made a note, wasn't really having the best of times.
Yeah, a few of his balls going awaywards. 29th minute, massive chance for Port Vale. Massey's cross on the right, met by James Wilson. Really should have scored. Side-footed the ball well over the bar from close range. When I first saw it, I thought Wilson actually was a bad miss. And it is a bad miss, but upon watching the replay, Rob Hunt does really well to get in just behind Wilson and let him know he's there. And I think he puts Wilson off. But yeah, like you said, Port Vale can't buy a win. They weren't looking like a team who were winless in 2024, and they weren't looking like a team who were 23rd in the league.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Our first shot at goal came for us in the 36th minute as Rob Hunt had an effort that went wide of the far post. Yeah. Decent shot, but I think it went comfortably wide.
Absolutely. 38th minute in penalty shouts for the O's after Shaq Ford appeared to be bundled down following a superb pass from Jaden Sweeney after he beat his man to the ball. Ref waved away the appeal. Was at the time, I don't think that was a penalty. Although, when I watched it back, I've seen them given, and he is goal side of his man.
Who is?
Ford, yeah. Win some, lose some. Yeah. We lost that one, unfortunately. But there you go.
Yeah, 2 minutes later, Shaq Ford cut him from the right, and his shot went just wide thanks to a slight deflection, and unfortunately the corner came to nothing.
Yeah, that was a good 5-10 minutes there from the O's. 1 minute of additional time played out with nothing else to report. The teams were in goalless at the break.
Yeah, can't remember what the exact attendance was because I forgot to make a note, but it was well over 7,300, although it didn't really feel that there were 7,300 bums on seats, and 261 made it all the way down from Stoke on a Tuesday night. So fair play to those when you're 23rd in the league, haven't won this year, and you're getting tonked, and you've come down to London on a Tuesday night. Fair play to those people.
The big smoke.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, just a comment on that half, I thought it was probably the worst half of football I've seen from us.
It didn't feel like a real game of football. I think I said this. It was deplete. Like, that stadium has been so full for the last, like, year, 18 months, and it just didn't feel busy. I know, obviously, it's a Tuesday night. Tickets were only £10, but we've obviously just said the attendance. That wasn't anywhere near what the actual attendance was. 4,500, I reckon, if lucky. Like, there were spaces everywhere. It didn't feel real. It felt lethargic. As soon as you walked in the ground, the players looked lethargic. Port Vale looked slightly lethargic. It felt like a JPT second round game, if anything. Yeah. And I think that was kind of the views that we got at half time. Via the Wyvern said tonight has all the action of a pre-season friendly. Yeah, it did feel like a pre-season friendly, like you said.
Yeah, Joe Jessen, 16, said, I think this game quite neatly shows why and just how much we need James in the team.
Ed Turns said, we look tired and lacking that creative spark.
The Authentic Gaz said, struggling to remember a worse 45 minutes of football, not just this season, but ever. Well, I don't know. I don't know, Gaz. I think there's quite a few that people could pull out for you if you need a reminder.
Oh, dear. All right. There were no changes at halftime for the O's. There was an opportunity early on, 47th minute, as Joe Piggott held at the ball. He played in Shaq Ford on the right. He drove to the byline. His cross was well held by Ripley. That was a good sign of intent, something we hadn't really seen much in the first half.
Yeah, and that was Piggott holding up the ball well and bringing players in around him. Sol Brin was forced to make a save in the 49th minute from Mighton after we were really sloppy in possession.
Yeah, I mean, the shot was straight at Brin, but we just gave the ball away far too easily.
Cheaply, yeah, absolutely.
55th minute in, an amazing run by Ollie O'Neill as he was played in down our left. He was crowded out, though, when he got into the box. Had a few opportunities, I think, to shoot, it's fair to say. Again, one of those slightly taking too long on the ball at certain points, and before you know it, he's crowded out, chance gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Triple sub for Orient as Max Sanders replaced Ruel Sotiriou. Jaden Sweeney was replaced by Tom James and Idris El Mazouni was replaced by Darren Prattley. All of this in the 57th minute, just shy of the hour mark.
Three subs there. I mean, I was quite surprised to see Sweeney go off. I thought Sweeney had a good game, but obviously the experience of Tom James gives you another kind of outlet to what Sweeney gives you. So I kind of understood that one slightly. Although I think Sweeney can consider himself unlucky.
Agreed.
I always thought Sotiriou was going to get at least half hour in this game. So no surprise to see Sotiriou won there. And I think a few people raised a few eyebrows when Idris was taken off. But obviously Idris is fasting as well for Ramadan. That is his best game, to be fair. So I understood that one as well. So no qualms from me. Well, it is a bit odd to see Richie do that. He doesn't normally do triple substitutions that early, but no. I understood them.
And nor does he usually substitute Idris either. But yeah, I mean, I was talking to people after. I thought Jaden was really superb. I mean, there was a couple of straight passes, but he was no worse than anyone else really on the night. And I thought he'd done better than Gavin Massey. I thought he'd held him back really, really well. Lots of quite physical from what we could see with the shirt pulling and the shoving and the barging and that. Anyway, we don't control these things. The O's went close to an opener though in the 62nd minute as Ollie O'Neill's cross was touched on by Ruel Sotiriou, but Ripley did well to punch the ball away from Joe Piggott's head.
Yeah, he done well there, did Ripley. Yeah. He was having a bit of a back and forth with the South Stand lot, but taking it well and good banter. So well played to Ripley.
Yeah.
68th minute, following a corner, Ruel Sotiriou had an effort, go over the bars. He twisted and turned from close range, couldn't find the target, slightly off balance, didn't he? Yeah. No trouble for Ripley, that one.
No, 75 minutes. Ripley made a great fingertip save from a deflected Shaq Ford shot just inside the box. Unfortunately, nothing came from the resulting corner.
I think that was one for the cameras. I know everyone's a great everyone save. I thought that was an all right save, Ripley, but you know where your cameras are there. 78th minute, and with the clock ticking, the O's had their best chance of the game. As Royal Ulster 2 was played in by Shaq Ford, and Royal was in 1-1, unleashed an early shot. And I can't tell if Ripley managed to get a fingertip to this or not. I think a few people think he did. I don't think he did. I can't tell. The replay isn't enough for me. Anyway, ball smacked the bar. Danger was cleared after. Royal Soteria.
Wow. What an opportunity to score that was. Either side of Ripley, like you said, or Warren said, and that's a goal. But he's gone and just banged it. And fair play, like that's the instinct. And Ripley, I don't know if he got a fingertip to it. He reckons he did. Ruel, in his interview on the club's channels, asked him if he did, and apparently he said he did. To me, it looked like it just smacked the bar. Yeah. He's just hit the bar. But if the keeper has even got the slightest of touches to deflect that onto the bar, then that is a great piece of goalkeeping. But like it's either side of him, and that's a goal. What can you do? It's one of those.
Yeah. He takes it on early, so I can't fault him for that.
No.
Great weight of pass from Shaq, and that chance was gone.
Yeah.
83rd minute, could have been worse for the O's as penalty appeals for Port Vale, as Dan Jones went down after a challenge from Shaq Ford. The referee waved away the protest. Now, I have seen him given for those as well. Like, Shaq Ford definitely gives him a little nudge in the box.
Yeah.
I've seen him given. That could have easily turned into a 1-0 defeat. So, yeah, thankful the referee for that one.
Double substitution a minute later as Zach Obiero came on to replace Ollie O'Neill. Joe Piggott was replaced by Dan Adu Ajayi. I thought with Ollie having gone off a cut in the previous couple of games, I was quite pleasantly surprised that he'd played so long.
Yeah, done well there, did Ollie. 4 minutes of additional time played in this one. A few more corners, came to nothing. No further actions for Port. The referee blew the full-time whistle as the match ended. Goalless.
It did. Rich's interview is on YouTube and all the club's channels, so you can go and listen to that there. So we move on then to the league table, and that draw means we do stay in 10th. We didn't shift at all. We've now played 38 games. We've won 15 of them. We've drawn 10 and we've lost 13. We've got 55 points now, and we've still got a minus one on the old goal difference.
Okay, bit of Legendre. It's not a game that's going to live long in my memory.
No.
Yours?
Such an orient thing to do, that game, wasn't it? Such an orient thing. A game that has 3 points written all over it for us, since Port Vale couldn't buy a win. And, you know, they were getting beaten by others reasonably comfortably, and we just about gained a draw. Like, they had a couple of chances. We had that Ruel chance, but I think that was a poor game by our standards. It was poor passing. There was a lack of movement. A lot of people getting frustrated. I think that's actually, sitting in that seat, the most I've shouted in 2 seasons.
Yeah, probably.
And the frustration in me over that was move the ball quicker, movement, get the ball in the box quicker, stop taking too many touches on the ball. There's 3, 4, 5 touches at times. It's just basics. Move the ball quicker. Port Vale could have been taken quite easy. I mean, on paper, though, you look at them. James Wilson up front, Gavin Massey, Ethan Chislett, that Ripley in goal, they cut that 11, that Mighton. They weren't on paper, and from what we saw, maybe that's just because we were really subpar. I mean, they lost yesterday, but on paper, they actually looked pretty decent from what I saw, but we were just really poor, I thought, as one of our... And again, you can make the argument that they're not rested. You can make the argument that this is a threadbare squad. They're all still good players in our squad, like Jordan said earlier.
Richie kind of said the same thing as well. He's quite critical of the players in terms of, he's like, all young men, they shouldn't be lethargic. He said he took them off on the Saturday before at Wigan to make sure they wouldn't be lethargic for this, and they were still lethargic. So I thought Richie's interview was quite interesting, actually.
I agree.
He got the right balance between critical and kind of encouraging quite well, but didn't throw any punches, was, you know, very cheerful in that.
Yeah, not usually one to dig a player out, but I thought Omar Beckles had probably one of his worst performances for me. I thought his passing was poor. I thought he reacted too slow. There was a couple of times where he was quite comfortable and not sharp enough, and there was a couple of times where a player beat him to the ball just on the edge of our box. And I don't think he won enough of the headers. I hate to pick on players, but I think this is the difference between writing it straight after the game on the way home versus sleeping on it, reflecting on it, and then talking about it on a Sunday night 5 days later. Look, Ruel scores at the end. That would have been a proper smash and grab, and I think that would have been a shame for Port Vale. They had a couple of good chances, they didn't take them. Again, Sweeney and Hunt for me were really good. I think everyone else was pretty much off the pace, but like I say, credit to Port Vale. They looked well organised, they pressed us well at times. We pointed out how they were quite high up when we were looking to play out from the back. Useful players in their squad as well, but yeah, not sure. I mean, it was announced at full time, just shy of full time, that Jordan Brown had been announced as the sponsor's man of the match, but he wasn't. That was a mistake. It was actually Joe Piggott. So I'm not entirely sure. No disrespect to Joe, because I thought his second half performance was one of the better ones in the team and one of the best ones for him that I've seen as well. I thought he did quite well, but I'm not sure how he got man of the match after that game, but he did. And I guess if you don't win games, just make sure you don't lose them. So one of the positives out of this is that we've got a clean sheet from it. And you can't dwell on this. We've got a much bigger game coming up on Saturday, which obviously we're about to review, Stevenage. So we move on.
Yeah, you. I mean, my views were really short compared to yours, I think. I
didn't realise mine was so long to be.
It was just flat. Like that, it was just flat. If someone said, can you sum up that game in one word? I'd just say, yeah, flat. From the players, the perfect example of that, right? And I said this to you when he came on. Darren Prattley comes on, and if that's a Saturday game, everyone's singing those two songs that Darren Prattley's known for. Darren Prattley came on Tuesday night, and no one cared. No one cared. No one gave it. No one batted an eyelid, because no one could be asked, all intents and purposes, to do anything from a crowd perspective. And that just kind of summed up the game perfectly, I think, in the South Stand as well. I was like, I was just waiting for the one more year, and nothing happened. Like, no one made any noise, and the game just resumed, and I thought, this is going to, like, nothing's happening in this game. It's going to be 0-0, because they're just flat. I mean, lucky not to be a goal down at half-time, because they really should have scored through Wilson's chance. The subs, I didn't understand at the time, but again, with the benefit of hindsight and Richie's interviews, you go, okay, I understand them a bit more. I think the players looked absolutely knackered. I think O'Neill needs a rest. I know you've mentioned, obviously, he gets to 85 minutes. I think, like, he was pretty active in the first half, second half a little bit, but not as kind of active as what we saw in the first couple of games. But that's understandable. Young man playing a lot of Saturday, Tuesday games. He's knackered. And there's no subs to bring him on for, essentially, in the same position. Good to see Obiero get some minutes.
Yeah.
Although it was like, what, 8 minutes towards the end of the game. Yeah, as per Richie's point, we did look lethargic, but they're going to now. 38 games played and loads of football in February, but I thought a draw was a completely fair result. Like, no arguments for me, and I think that squad is at its breaking point. Like, if that squad has any more injuries to it, at that point, like, I don't know who else is going to be able to come in. It's obviously promoting through the youth team, which is a playoff contender, or someone looking at the top end of the table will make it very difficult. But all in all, yeah, not a game that's going to live long in my memory.
No, indeed. Those were our thoughts, though, and we had quite a lot of feedback after this match. So again, thanks to everyone who took the time to send their views to our social media accounts. And again, just because we read them, it doesn't mean that we agree with them. Dave M1812 kicks off this week, said, we got a point, Ruel hit the bar. Can we now forget the whole thing, please?
Ori Meat Pie said, end the season now, no goals in the last three games, 1 point from nine, and Piggott on for virtually 90 minutes. I thought we have a depleted squad, but it's not great.
1965 AC 1881 said, we didn't concede and there's no bookings. What's not to like? That's a good point. No bookings.
Great point. Richie J. Bourne said, nobody can really come out with that much credit from that game. Subs did show a bit of fighting quality, but it was a very disappointing display. Sanders may have not had many minutes in the team, but after that display, he doesn't deserve many more.
Ryan P. Nutt said, worst performance under Richie Wellens, but too many injuries and had left us and the team of eight. Sorry, left us with a team of strangers. Eight games to try different things and plan for next season, as we have had a lot of lone players and some of the signed squad players were awful. I don't agree that they're strangers with this, Ryan, not to pick on you at all. They've been together all season. I think in most cases they were together last season as well. So I think they were just poor.
I think they're just knackered.
I think that's what it is.
Just knackered.
This is their job, though. Like, they've played, all these players have played, this isn't their first foray into men's scene. If Ollie O'Neill, granted, exception to the rule. But Ollie's been with us for a while, since January now, and your body must be getting used to the rigours of training, the rigours of League One standard football. And this isn't his first kind of couple of Saturday Tuesdays. Like, we've been playing Saturday Tuesday for a little while now. Why are they so tired?
One for Keaton.
One for Richie.
All right, let's ask him when we get him next on the podcast. Yeah, D. Rolf Dahl. Anyone digging out Piggott must have an agenda, because there were a lot of others who put in nowhere near the effort and didn't perform on the ball either, who get nowhere near as much slander. I think that's a fair point there.
Agree. Good point. I agree. I don't think the criticism of Joe Piggott is often objective or fair because of that. They just think, oh, he's just a donkey and he's just rubbish and decision made. Mm. I mean, don't get me wrong, some of his touches were poor, even I did better. But by the same token, you know, he's come in, he's done well in that game, which was pretty poor by all standards. I think he's one that can, one of few that can probably take a bit of credit. Running referee GC said, we lack sharpness tonight, which is understandable. The tactic of hitting long diagonal balls was largely ineffective. Oh, that was so frustrating. The long Hollywood balls going from left back to right wing was just absolutely unnecessary. Vale weren't a great side, which was fortunate, as a better team may have punished us. I hope we can get some energy back for the run-in for a top half finish.
Good to see you in the supporters club on Tuesday night, Mr. Conway.
Some trainers as well that he was wearing away last week.
Mark Ross, 636-89509, said, Richie has said give him the players and he'll do the business. I'd love to know how he really feels about the January window. He wanted Towns and never got him, so back him properly next year or we'll lose him.
Dear Stu sent a few Z emojis there, said that was utter dross. I felt like an end of season game. If we get top 10 at the end of the season, it certainly would have passed most fans' expectations for the season. We need a big summer, get those injured back, and another top 10 finish next season. Yes, please.
Stu, hope you got to Stevenage okay yesterday. I saw your tweet that you tagged us in trying to get up there, so hope you did. Hope all is well. Patrick G, 3-2-1. So let's be honest, that was awful from both sides. Oddy and Shaq seemed a bit leggy, which is understandable, and Brown and Elmiz were unusually quiet. Let's hope they can all turn up on Saturday for Stevenage's cup final. Would be a shame such a positive season finished with a whimper.
Carlo East 18 said, we improved after the three substitutes came on, but it was a little too late. Before that, we were poor and without threat, continually passing the ball backwards without anyone linking defence and attack. Shame, as the points were there for the taking.
Yeah, Daniel _ D44 said, the squad is really stretched and showing. That was a poor game. We never looked like scoring. Don't get why we are so poor at corners. This is a great stat. We've had 33 in our last three games and not looked like scoring from any of them. One plus was there. It was great to see Obiero get a game.
Absolutely.
Good point about the corners.
Absolutely about the corners. There were a couple when Galbraith was taking them where we looked threatening from it. But from a set, how are we not doing so well? Like, I know there's that joke about the set piece coach, but surely that's got to be a fundamental part of a football match, is getting corners. And I haven't counted the corners, but I remember one game we got 18 corners and did absolutely nothing from any of them. Mm. I think that's a great point. Tom Davies, E17, said, dire game full of bad decisions by players and officials. How the first half windpiping of Shaq Ford didn't lead to a red card and a penalty was staggering, but we don't look like scoring again this season.
Doyle _Hooper said, flat and frustrating. Play seemed unsure what to do about the two usual fullbacks. We've also lost our spark since George Moncur has been unwell. If he stays next season, we need him fit. If not, we need a midfielder who can control the game, create and score goals. That's a big ask. I mean, that's another good point about Moncur already coming into his stride. Obviously missing him from the starting lineup. Obviously might be a bigger miss than what we originally thought he might be.
Indeed. MS Orient said, you look at where we are for our first season back in League One. If anyone said Orient would be 10th or on the 12th, sorry, would be 10th on the 12th of March, I'd have bitten their hand off. Without the injuries and a better transfer window, it could have been promotion. Looking forward to the summer.
Orient _fan in the penultimate tweet and sponsored, clearly the depleted squad isn't ready to sustain the long season, which in its current state is fair. We are safe with 8 games left. Allows for planning for next season to build a squad with quality and strong rotation. We have the foundations to be competitive.
Jake Murphy Media gets the final word on this. He said, positives, we didn't lose. Negatives, we didn't win. Both sides played good football at times and then absolutely painstakingly frustrating football at times. Missing Graham, Theo, Aggie, happy big time generally, and Monks tonight.
Yeah, it goes on to say, overall, 10th of mid-March, but could be far worse. Yeah. Those were all tweets that come into us after the Port Vale game. In terms of the Saltire Orient Prediction League, we did have quite a few of you who predicted 0-0. So obviously no bonus points for 0-0, just straight 3 points for Theo the Wyvern, the Orienteer _, Ian Hutchison, Julian Cabby, Orient Ed, who sits in front of us. Well done, Ed. M.A. Exel, Andy R. Grosvenor. So well done. And the top of the prediction add-up will follow at the end of this episode.
Yeah, well done, Ed, for predicting a 0-0 rather than an Orient loss. Very proud of you, mate. Wednesday the 13th of March, quiet day, no news to report, so let's move on.
Let's move on. Thursday the 14th of March, congrats to Ralph Satouriou, who was called up for the very, very first time to the senior Cyprus squad. So why don't Mr. Satouriou? Yeah.
It's amazing. Also being called up was Ollie O'Neill. He was named in the Republic of Ireland's under 21 squad for their Euro qualifier against San Marino. So good luck to both of you in your respective countries.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing how you get on next week, gents. All right, Friday 15th March, another quiet one. No news to report. Let's skip on.
Let's do that. Let's move to Saturday the 16th of March. The Young O's were in action away at Cheltenham Town. And despite being 2-0 down, goals from Phil Chinedu and Divine Samuel rescued a point for the Orient. So well done to the Young O's. Not quite sure why we're dragging them all the way over to Cheltenham for a, I'm assuming, a youth merit league game.
Yep, imagine so. All right.
Don't know how it works, that's why. I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with that. But
still unbeaten. Great to see. All right, main event, as everybody knows, the one with the golden tickets, Stevenage away. And before the game, we ran a Twitter poll, although a day early. I think we got our days confused.
I did. I apologise.
So we ran our Twitter poll to find out how you thought the odds would get on this one. We had 259 votes, which wasn't bad considering it was a Wednesday, ending on a Friday.
Yeah.
So
sorry, guys.
19% of you thought the odds would draw this one. 24% thinking the O's would lose, and an overwhelming majority, an optimistic majority, thinking the O's would win at 57%. I'm quite surprised by that.
I'm very surprised by that. I'm not going to lie. 57% I thought would have gone lose, not 20. Agree. I thought it would have been the other way around.
Agree. As always, thank you for all of your votes. Normality will resume. Well, it won't actually, because the next game's on a Friday, so that means a Twitter poll comes out on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I'll try and get it right. But what did come out on time, as it should have done, was the team news at 2 o'clock.
Nice link. Got a pro here.
Thank you very much. I've done this once or twice before. Sol Brin was announced in goal. No shock there. Hunt, Cooper, Beckles and James were your back four. Elmiz and Prattley in midfield. Sanders, Ford and Satouriou up top supporting Joe Piggott. Substitutes for this were Sam Howes, Jaden Sweeney, Jordan Brown, Zach Obiero, George Moncur, Dan Aduajayi and Keon Edwards.
Yeah, so a few changes there. I guess it's fair to say from Tuesday, as expected. I mean, that was kind of the team I was expecting. Again, fan hub, I went with a more experienced lineup. I thought, okay, left back. Galbraith's still suspended, so that means Sweeney or Hunt. I thought he'll play Hunt there because Hunt is a more experienced head there. And then I looked at Brown and Prattley, and I thought he's going to play Prattley here because of the experience. Same. So kind of what I was expecting. Didn't expect O'Neill to miss out completely. So obviously Richie covers O'Neill in his post-match. And another chance for Piggott and Sanders to shine. So not many surprises there. And again, good to see George Moncur back on the bench. Brown on the bench gives you good options. Obiero again. And the young attackers, Aduaji and Edwards. So yeah, no surprises really. You?
Yeah, good lineup. He's put Prattley in obviously over Brown for the physicality and the experience, I'd assume. No O'Neill and Moncur on the bench like you, I suspected would be the case. Not much to change a game on the bench, although arguably slightly stronger than Tuesday night's one with Moncur being on there now and obviously Brown as well. But I did say it's going to be a tough game.
Absolutely. Obviously, I think it's probably important to mention, I think we do mention it, that Stevenage coming off the back of a defeat on the Wednesday, so 24 hours after we played, and obviously without one of their key defenders. Yeah, Phil Veazey one tweeted us, this is absolutely the game for Darren Prattley to lead the O's from the start. This is such a physical test for us. Really pleased with the look of the team. Massive opportunity for Joe to make a difference at centre-forward. Come on, Orient.
Len Chin Chin 1 said, Stevenage day and another test of ability for the team. The home side are physical and the O's will need to have intensity and make their chances count. Balls in the box are essential in a clinical finish in the final third. Always front foot moving forwards. Watch out for Reid, their current star.
All right, okie doke. Orient got the game underway. North Hertfordshire looking to bounce back from Tuesday's lacklustre home draw against our hosts who are occupying the final playoff spot, but missing their influential defender, Carl Piergiani. Now, he didn't get a red, did he, against Peterborough?
He didn't.
And then they reviewed it
got a retrospective
game.
Ban.
Game of free game ban. That is great news for Orient, because without Mr. Piergiani, Stevenage don't look the same.
Just shows you, one player makes such a difference. I mean, Stevenage, I didn't realise, they haven't won many games in their last seven, eight or nine.
They'd won two out of the last 10 when I was watching the highlights.
Which isn't great, for a team in the top six.
They're batting. They're massively batting.
Oh, absolutely. They've punched well over their considerable weight.
I think the key for that is you go, okay, losing that one player has affected them massively. You got to think Orient have lost Adji,
yeah,
Graham, Theo, Happy, arguably Sanders Galbraith at points. Sand, like all of like this season's just been like no other, and we're still kind of around there, which is
But thing is, we've gone up the league. They are slowly dropping down the league now because they've been in the top six pretty much all season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although they're not now. Both teams were settling into the game in the opening 15 minutes, but in the 16th minute, Orient took the lead. Sol Brin launched the free kick forward. Sweeney from Stevenage headed only as far as Darren Prattley. He headed the ball back in the mix. Piggott flicked it on. Ruel touched the ball onto Max Sanders. He drove across the box and fired the ball through a little bit of a crowded area there and into the bottom corner of the far side to make it 1-0. Scoring his first goal for the O's. I hadn't realised that. That was a tremendous goal. And the fact that he was crowded around as well and still got his shot off, I thought that was a really good strike from Max. And well done to the three in that build-up there. Ruel for the assist, notably. Darren and Joe Piggott as well to be involved in that. We kept that ball alive and that created an opportunity really out of nothing.
Yeah, nice finish, I think it's probably fair to say. You know, not an amazing goal, but not a bad one in any stretch of the imagination. It gave us a good impetus to build on and something to protect. But yeah, always like to see that. 21st minute, check forward, fired over the bar after Max Sanders rolled the ball back to him on the edge of the box, following a lovely passing move from the O's. Some of the teamwork in that build-up was lovely to
really
watch.
Really good, yeah. 3 minutes later, Stevenage had the ball in the back of the net as Brandon Cooper's clearance hit Roberts on the arm. Play continued, the ball came to Reid, who finished the effort, but the referee awarded a free kick as he saw a handball in the build-up. That is a huge let-off for us. Poor clearance from Cooper. It does hit his arm. I don't think it... I've watched it, but I don't believe that's hit his back. It's hit his arm. For me, you've seen them not given as well as given, and thank God we were on the receiving end of the right decision there. I understand why Stevenage would be livid at that, because he's not put his arm out. It's one of those, it's not a handball normally, but in current modern times with the way the rules are written, that's a handball. I'm delighted.
I'm not 100% on that one.
Really?
I don't know where else he's supposed to put his arm. It comes at him in such pace and power. Yes, it's handball in the effect that the ball hits his arm, but...
That's what I'm saying.
It's Cooper's clearance isn't the best.
It's poor.
You're right there.
It's poor.
Lucky. On another day, the ref doesn't blow the whistle and it's 1-1 and you've got 65 minutes to play.
Yeah.
You've got to take the lead again. Yeah. I think at that point, you're like, okay, might be our day in this one. Sol Brin had to be alert, had to make a save. In the 27th minute, cross came in from Butler. Reid was first to it with his head, easily caught by Brin. Poor marking from us, but again, straightforward save there from Brin.
Yeah, the club's Twitter feed captures some good defending from Rob Hunt in the 34th minute that said Rob Hunt did wonderfully well to dispossess Jordan Roberts as he broke forward, with the Stevenage man then bringing Hunt down near the corner flags.
All right.
I think Rob Hunt's a really good defender. I might be in a real minority there. I think Rob's a really good defender.
He is great. Obviously, Richie has worked with him numerous times before. Yeah. It's the first club he's been with him at, and trusts him, and he's not really put many foot wrong since.
Yeah, I agree, which is why I'm surprised he's not played more for us.
Well, I guess it shows you the strength of the fullbacks.
We've put Ethan Galbraith in at right back instead of Rob Hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan Prattley was booked after he wrestled his man to the ground just before half time in the 44th minute.
Yeah, the club's Twitter account was, I think, a little bit like, why has he been booked for that? But like, literally had his shirt. Literally, you could not have been more like deserving of a yellow card for that. But again, we've seen these tussles, we've seen these not given. So I think what irritates and I'm not going to use that word, irritates fans is the inconsistency in refereeing. If you're going to give it in one match, you've got to give it in every match. Otherwise, don't do it at all. A minimum of 3 additional minutes went up on the board. They were played out. No further action. The referee brought the half to a close with the O's going in at half time, 1-0 up.
All right. Attendance announced at 5,650. Including 1,374 away fans making the journey. Great away numbers, as you'd expect. I think we could have taken double that if the stadium would have allowed, but it's not. Dingy little ground, horrible little ground.
What a terrible attendance. 1,374 were us. So you take that offer there, it's only 4,300 fans.
Ground, isn't it?
It weren't even sold out, though.
Don't know. All I know is away
numbers. That's so low.
All right.
Anyway,
no change at half time for the O's. Stevenage, though, made four changes
Fatty Evans made.
Not messing around.
He isn't. Roberts fired over for the host in the 52nd minute with a powerful effort. He cut inside from the right. Reid picked up a loose clearance, fired well wide 2 minutes later, though. So they're coming at us. They're looking to get back in the game.
A little bit, yeah. Nothing else to talk about, really, until the 63rd minute. And even then, no action on the pitch as Orient made their first sub, as Max Sanders was replaced by Jordan Brown.
5 minutes later, Omar Beckles was on the end of a superb delivery from Tom James, but McGillery held his header.
Yes, all right. Skipping ahead now to the 71st minute. Idris Elmazouni went on an amazing run. Skipped past a few players, brought down on the edge of the area. Referee didn't like it, though. Wave play on.
Yeah, I don't understand how that was a play on. That was a blatant foul. 72nd minute, though, the second Orient substitution for us is Dan Adu Ajayi came on to replace Joe Piggott.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's really happening in this game. Just lots of back and forth. Yeah, all right. Skip ahead to the 83rd minute. Shaq Ford picked up a booking for the O's.
Yeah, not sure that was justified either. 86th minute, we made another substitution. So, literally, the last three are just two substitutions and a yellow card. But this one was George Moncur coming on to replace Ruel Sotirio.
All right, 3 additional minutes of time went up, were played. No further talking points in the match as it came to a close, as the O's sealed the points and a clean sheet in Hertfordshire with the one the win. With Richie Wellens goading the home fans, I'm sure everyone's seen pictures of this, by lifting an imaginary trophy, Stevenage defender and giant, basically, Dan Sweeney, squared up to him. A little bit of a scuffle, all ended peacefully as the staff and players then went to applaud the very happy away end. It wasn't very happy for the home fans on social media, who's still moaning, I think, as this episode goes out. So, Richie Wellens spoke to Dave Victor after the game. We're not going to play all the interview, just going to play the first 2 minutes. And here's what super Richie Wellens had to say to Dave Victor.
Richie, thanks for joining us and congratulations. Josiah deserved those very, very big points.
Deserved, I thought it was a nothing game. Probably showing one moment of quality. I thought for the first 20 minutes of the second half, they bombarded us and it was very good. First half, we probably just edged it a little bit in terms of quality moments, but it was just, it's just carnage, isn't it? It's just kick it, boot it, edit. You don't really want to set your teams up like that. But you have to come here and match the physicality because they're very, very good at what they do. They've got players at the top end of the pitch are very, very effective. In Roberts, I think they've got one of the best players in the league. Reed's scored a lot of goals. And that's what's pleasing. We didn't have a team out today to physically really match them in terms of size, in terms of experience. But I thought the players acquitted themselves really well. At half-time, they make 4 subs and they're bringing on players with hundreds and hundreds of games, experience. So a really good result in terms of the performance. It's not what I really want to see my team do on a footy pitch, but you need to do it. You need to come here, you need to match them. And I thought at stages we did.
And a game that was decided with a rare moment of quality from Max Sanders.
Yeah, good finish. Match been a little frustrated because we've moved him around a little bit, different formations, and we just give him a license. We've got no bodies. Ole O'Neill pulls out a train on, I think it was Wednesday. Hamstring, because we've overworked him. We're down to the bare bones. We don't have one fit winger in the squad, so we have to play Max on the left and give him a license to roam in and find pockets and run. But obviously, then getting his shape defensively, I thought 4-2 would work against these. I thought it did. I watched him in the week against Peterborough. I thought he was excellent, and I didn't want to play for it like Peterborough have got. Peterborough is worth the risk because of the players that they've got in terms of the wingers and how dynamic they are. And if you outweigh that risk and you get the press wrong, they can really, really hurt you. Stevenage is very, very, get the press wrong. Really good pressing from the front, so I didn't really want to play out and edge them onto us. So we're down to the bare bone. We've come here, we've got nothing to play for, and we've got a good result because of the lack of bodies and the attitude that we show. We've managed to dig 3 points out.
So thanks very much indeed to Dave Victor for sending that in. You know, Richie talks so much sense, doesn't he? He makes so many good points. And you understand where he's coming from and what we're trying to achieve here. And yeah, absolute credit. So that was Richie post-match. The rest of that is on the club's social media channels. You can go check that out.
All right, that 3 points means we remain in 10th place in League One. We've now played 38, won 16, drawn 10, lost 13. I think we played 39 actually. Played 39, won 16, drawn 10, lost 13. Goal difference is 0. 58 points. Somehow we're still in the playoff race. Just. Bit of legende. Your views on yesterday's win?
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, I do beg your pardon. We have played 39 games. My mistake there. Look, great result. get 3 points is the most fundamental part of a football match. Sometimes playing nice football is not always a given. And at the end of the day, it's how you get them. Always great to get one over Steve Evans. We seem to have this unfortunate rivalry with him. And also Alex Revell was getting busy. I didn't realise Alex Revell was the assistant, one of the coaches, like the Matt Harrold of there. So yeah, always good to get one over them. Wasn't pretty to watch at times, but we've pulled off a result with a severely depleted squad, like Richie just said there. And this just shows like how well Richie and the staff are doing with the talented squad that we have. We don't have lots of them, but we have a highly technical and highly gifted squad here. And I think they are, like Jordan said earlier, you know, they are doing so well. They are pulling up trees. They're forced to just take the situation, own it, and just play, and do the best that they can. You know, we've taken 4 points this week from two games, which I would have taken from this time last week when we were speaking.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the order that we have got them, i.e. 3 points against Port Vale, one against Stevenage. Yeah. But again, just it is what it is. Look, everyone's put in a shift. The togetherness in the squad is there for everyone to see. And you can see, you know, there was that fuss, that melee afterwards when, you know, Richie's kind of, he explains it later on, we didn't go into it, but he says that they were giving him grief and he just went back and did a gesture of sort of lifting the trophy. That's upset a few. And Dan Sweeney's got busy and made something of it that it doesn't need to be. But it just shows you that all the Orient players went piling in to separate, to defend, to support Richie. So, look, we're in a great place. Can't complain.
Yeah, agree. I thought we'd win that, actually. I was fairly confident. Yeah, after Tuesday and after their Wednesday result, I thought this is exactly the kind of game where we're going to beat them. Yeah, I wish you put Burnley, actually.
I wish you had as well.
Good to see Sanders on the score sheet. Like I said, first goal for Orient. Two clean sheets in 2 weeks. It was a relatively comfortable clean sheet. Bryn hasn't made that many amazing saves. Like he's made some basic saves. He's not had the game of his life to keep him out. Fairly comfortable, I think it's fair to say. Wellens is Wellens. Like, if that's the other way round, we would be doing our nut at Steve Evans. So I completely get why Stevenage fans aren't happy. If that was Evans doing that, would be our Twitter feed would be going insane. So it is what it is, isn't it? When it happens to you, you don't like it, and when your boss is doing it, you love it. That's just football. I can't see the playoff push. I know Jordan spoke about it. I'd love to see it. Obviously, if we win the next 7 games, we'll do it. There's some big games coming up, but still, for it to be mathematically possible with 7 games left of the season, given all of the injuries that we've had this season, it's quite amazing to be where we are, to be honest. Honestly, that achievement...
I agree.
When you look at the clubs who we are around there with, all much bigger clubs than us, you just got to think, well, unbelievable. So, if you win, I hope you have the best time. It looked like it was an amazing atmosphere in your way and lots of singing, lots of noise, which is exactly how it should be. So, I hope everyone had the best time. So, kudos to the 1,500 who made it. So, those were our views. Lots of views came in at full time, as you would expect. The untold game. So, lots of good performances. And I know he only played 30 minutes... But Jordan Brown is a god.
Yeah, well played. Sunshine LOFC says, Steve Evans got a lesson in Steve Evans football and you love to see it.
Boatsy said, what a fantastic result. And even better to beat Steve Evans' team at their own game. We limited them to minimal shots and today every player worked hard to get the result, which keeps the season alive. Lack of class from their players and Richie at the end.
Dan Orton 2590 said, great result, didn't see it coming at all, and I didn't think them losing Piergianni would have hurt them anywhere near as much as it did. Orient were hardly amazing and were never really under threat, but still did well to see it out. Little bit of luck along the way, but who cares.
Good assessment from Dan. Racca Blue Apps said, possibly the worst game of football I think we've played under Richie, but tactics spot on. Don't think Stevenage offered much when we gave them the ball, just a lot of huffing and puffing. Perfect game for Prattley, who I think showed his class. Great victory.
Yeah, Orient Fan TV said, out-thought, out-battled. Every O's player on that pitch put in a shift today. Hardly troubled at the back. Another clean sheet too. Players now have a couple of weeks to recuperate before the Lincoln match, which is a huge game for us. Can we get to the playoffs? You never know.
You never know. It's the never knowing that kills you, I guess. Gorillas 1985 said, if we can somehow not lose the next 2 matches, we can still be in the playoff mix. International weekend, that's helping us for once. Richie can give players a rest and go for it over Easter weekend. I wonder if Dan Adji might be on the bench for Easter weekend.
You never know. It's a big call. He's got enough time.
Yes.
Ron Sampson, 15, said, wonderful win against a bit of a bogey side. Worked so hard. A few nail-biting moments, but all worked out in the end. Special mention to Dan Adu Ajay, who was a real nuisance to their defender. That boy's got potential. Welland's rubbing it in at the end was the cherry on the cake.
Matty, LFC Evans, quite simply, one of the best away days I've been to. Richie, different class with his antics at the end. Pure cinema. Boys dug in deep and outplayed Stevenage. At their own antics, the bogey team have been dispatched.
LOFC Loza said, we out Stevenage today, winning headers, second balls, physical and long balls, turning their defence. Steve Evans would be proud.
Good tweet. Trousers Techno said, Richie Wellens has learned that you don't play football against a team that doesn't play football. That's a great sentence. We tried that earlier in the season and they battered us and done the same last season.
Yeah.
Great statement there. We deserve to win ugly, but it's always going to be this against Stevenage. An aerial bombardment throughout that the defence coped with exceptionally well, and a good finish from Max was enough.
Indeed. Wit_Raymond got the penultimate word in this week. So we didn't just give them a taste of their own medicine. We shoveled it in until they were full. Winning ugly never felt so good.
Very good. Final word on tweet. Stevenage goes to Painting Orient. He said, Stevenage really don't like a bit of their own medicine, do they? Masterminding an away win with no shortage of passion, the right tactics, and a bit of sticky tape here. And there is just reward for Welland and a fantastic captain shift as well. By 10 more years, Darren Prattley.
So that wraps up the match review and thoughts of our win against Stevenage yesterday. Do you agree or disagree with any of the tweets we've read out? Let us know what you think. We're at Orient Outlook on Twitter. We're email. If you're not on socials, we're orientoutlook@outlook.com. We're on Instagram, orient_outlook_podcast, or search Facebook, Orient Outlook Podcast.
All right, time for the Saltire Prediction League update. A few correct predictions of 1-0. So Martin Riches, Guy 1 Incognite, 1-0. Rio_Orient, Steve Chaplin, 73 Ken, and Tony Antonio all predicted the right result. No one got 4 points, only the 3 points. It means the top of the prediction league is getting tight. Joint top then on 25 points. Dave Brew, 4797-6911, and Rio_Orient, 1 point behind them on 24 points. Is Eastside Orient. 1 point behind him is Dan William H, and just outside them on 20 points is Paul R. Gregory, Steve Chapman 4. There's 7 games left to play for. It's going to be tight at the top. Thanks to everyone for all your predictions, and again thanks to Saltire Orient for sponsoring the Prediction League.
Indeed. So let's move on then to today, Sunday the 17th of March. A very happy St. Patrick's Day to all those who celebrate.
Top of the morning.
Top of the day to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. The ladies were due to be in action today, but their game against London Academicals was postponed after a pitch inspection in the early morning. As things stand, if the women win all their remaining 6 league matches, they win the league.
Mm-hmm.
What a time to be alive. Amazing. But however, this will require defeating some clubs above us. That's a big ask, but we achieved it last season and the season before that. It would be a gargantuan achievement in the Premier Division. So we'll keep an eye on the ladies' end of the season very closely, all to play for, as is the senior men's team. You know, 7 Indeed. Games left. If they win all 7, they'll be in the playoffs.
Exactly right. Absolutely. So an hour 27
Whoa.
Now, so let's get this wrapped up. Bit of a bumper one, but thanks to Jordan, we have some great information from him. Fantasy football then, as we look to wrap this up. Now, Jamie Wellham is now the new leader of the Orient Outlook Podcast Fantasy Football League. He's amassed 1,822 points. Josh Abrahams is in second place, but he's only behind him by 5 points. A lot of FA Cup actions and not too many games this weekend. Steve has bumped up to 248th place out of 374. Well done to you.
Thank you, mate.
And well done to everyone who's taking part.
All right, positives and negatives of the week. I think I done positives last week, so I will leave you with the three positives from this week. Bit of legend.
Let's do that then. So the top three positives, we've got 4 points from 2 games this week. Would have taken that last week.
Yes.
2 clean sheets in the process as well. Can't get much better than that. And we just fight. I know the playoff is a bit of a distant dream, but we are still mathematically and realistically able to get there. We're 5 points off it. Oxford occupy that last spot now. Our defeat of Stevenage on Saturday meant that they dropped out, and obviously results around them.
Oxford went in. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, negatives in. We have 3 negatives to balance out the 3 positives. First up, Tuesday night's performance. You know, although we got a point, that point might be quick, could be pivotal. come the end of the season, or dropping those 2 points from not winning could be pivotal as well. Yeah. We just have to stay on that one. Second negative, still the injuries and suspensions. Well, that seems to be getting a bit better now. Ethan Galbraith will be available for Good Friday, and obviously we'll come on to Easter weekend, but obviously no game next week. Gives a bit more time for those players who are injured to get back to fitness, hopefully. And the last negative, although I guess depending on what way you look at it, the full-time whistle yesterday, lots of ugly scenes that you don't want to see on a pitch. So it goes.
That's what it is.
So it goes. All right, hero of the week then. So yeah. Could have been a few nominees. We were unanimous in our headquarters or in our podcast towers. So this week's hero of the week is
Max Sanders. Well done, Max. I think that's probably one of the first, probably the first time we've given it to him. I think we don't keep a track of that.
I think you're right. Yes. All right, Ben Lejande, next week's fixture. So the O's have a week off next week, which means so does the podcast that we'll come on to in a bit. So our game, like we said earlier, against Exeter City, which was due to take place on the 23rd of March this Saturday, has been arranged due to international call-up. So, look, if you need to go out with your spouse or whatever, make the most of it because it's a free Saturday. You don't need to be on your phone all day. You don't need to be going halfway across the country to watch Orion or just down the central line.
Save a few quid as well.
Yeah, just don't go to football. Just spend a day with your families and have a lovely day.
People are going to be so bored. they're going to be writing to us.
However, though, the following week is Easter week and it's a busy one and a big, big moment of the season. On Easter Friday, 29th of March, we go up to Lincoln City. I mean, Lincoln City are the form team in League One right at the moment.
I suspect they'll get the last playoff spot.
Well, there's still so many games left. They might have peaked too early. They beat Bristol Rovers 5-0 on Saturday. That's off the back of beating Cambridge United 6-0 in midweek. And then off the back of beating Barnsley away 5-1. Incredible.
Scoring goals for fun.
They got two Irish lads in midfield who were scoring for fun. They got Joe Taylor, who Colchester had, on loan from Luton. He's gone up a division. He's now Colchester's top goal scorer, and he's now Lincoln's top goal scorer because he scored a hat trick yesterday. He's literally been there for like a month and a half. We were linked with this guy, and I remember saying at the time, I'm not sure, I haven't heard much about him. However, maybe if we had that number 9, and maybe if he started on Tuesday, it's always some buts you might be talking about.
Absolutely.
You can't play that, but they look very good at the moment. But wouldn't that be an Orient thing, though, to go there and beat them 1-0? Wouldn't that just be a complete Orient thing to go there and beat them and then lose to Peterborough?
Yeah, like and play terribly. But you're right, like they beat Bristol Rovers, they went down to 10 men, 5-0. They beat Cambridge 6-0, right. They beat Barnsley 5-1.
Yep.
They drew with Stevenage before that. They beat Shrewsbury 3-0. They beat Port Vale away 2-0. They beat Exeter at home 1-0. This is just coming up to Valentine's Day now. Drew with Chuck. Absolutely on fire. Terrible time to be playing.
And when we played them, obviously we played them twice this season.
We did,
And in both games, they looked awful.
Yeah, they didn't look like the team that they are now.
I think it was that managing manager. Second game, maybe even first game, when they beat us 1-0.
First game.
So that's Easter Friday, Good Friday. And then on Easter Monday, 1st of April, Peterborough United at home. The posh at home. No love lost between these two clubs. They were in 4th place in League One, despite losing 1-0 at home to Portsmouth this weekend. So they are still in the race. They could still do automatic, but I don't think they will. Looks like playoffs for them. So playoffs, two massive games. If we win those two games, I would say the playoff dream, from being very, very faint to me at like 1-2% at the moment, goes up a good couple of percentage points if we win those two games.
If we win those two games, only a couple of percentage points?
For me, in my view, in terms of making the playoff, because you still got to look at what Blackpool are doing, what Oxford are doing, what Stevenage are doing. Although I think those two games are going to be a good sign of where we're at.
I think it needs to go up more than a couple of percentage points. Yeah, I think you're talking like dozens of percentage points because you're beating the two form teams of the league, or practically.
Saying that though, I think there are some games, I don't know, next Saturday on the 23rd, so not all games are postponed. So Lincoln might be playing next Saturday. I don't know. They might lose that one, or they might get a few injuries off the back of that. Same with Peterborough, potentially. So
they have got, no, they're not playing either. Their next game is Friday the 29th of March against us. Brilliant. They've got a week off next week as well.
But maybe it's good for us that they have a week off.
Well, both of us have got a week off, so both of us have got a rest. We probably need it a bit more than them because we've got so many injuries, although I won't profess to being an expert on what their injury situation is. So that is it. Sponsorship reminder, don't forget to get in touch with John and the fantastic team of experienced florists. Call them on 0208 529 4130 or you can contact them on social media, Carol Langley E4. Carol has got an E on the end, or at Essex Biz on Twitter. They're also on Instagram. Search Carol Langley Florist, all one word, and the same on Facebook.
All right, so that is it. Thank you for joining us for episode 351. A busy week of fixtures in, as the O's take 4 points from six, like we've gone through, although not the way we thought we'd get them. Poor quality game saw us take a point at home against relegation-threatened Port Vale before we went up the A1 to Stevenage and took all the points to keep our own faint playoff hopes alive while seeing our hosts slip out of the last playoff place. You love to see that. So with injuries and suspensions having taken their toll on the team, Richie's options for selection have become limited, but the break this week gives us players and squad a much-needed rest and the time for the injuries and the suspensions, hopefully, to get back to fitness, opportunities to heal for those injured players and be in contention, like we've just spoken about, ahead of a huge Easter weekend full of fixtures. And you can hear about both of those games in our next episode, where hopefully we'll be talking about another two clean sheets and positive results for you, and that mean there'll only be 5 games of the season left at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely right, yeah. If you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe, give our podcast a 5-star rating. If you're listening on Spotify, don't forget to rate the show, or you can leave a comment on each episode, and if you can, please do. If you get the chance, don't forget to follow us, add us to your favourites on your chosen podcast provider, as that way you will get all the episodes as soon as they're available. We're also on Smart Speakers, the Fan Hub app, and we're also on YouTube, so listening to the podcast has never been easier. If you've got an older relative, a loved one, an Orient chum who you think will like the podcast, please grab their phone, download it for them, and pass on the pod. So it just leaves us to say thank you very much indeed again to Jordan Graham for coming on, for being so open and real with how he with what's going on. It's very easy to go, oh yeah, everything's fine and great and dandy, but he's very honest there. And also to George in the media team for setting that up for us.
Yeah, appreciate that, gents, and yeah, absolutely thank you for that. We hope you enjoyed that one. So we'll be back, like we said, with episode 352 on Easter Monday. So when you next Sunday looking for a podcast, don't look for us, because we won't be having a new episode. Although I do my own podcast, I'm going to plug the hell out of it. Fantastical podcast, if you like music and fantasy festivals, or just like the sound of my voice as a nice calming influence on you, please come and listen to that. Join me for that one if you are missing your outlook. But however, big fortnight, like we said, coming up. Fingers crossed for that one. Yeah. We look forward to hearing from you in the next fortnight. And as always, keep calm, stay safe, have a great fortnight, and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast.
Up the O's.